Welcome to the Tabletop Sportcast. I'm your host, James Cast. Today's March 10th, 2024, and this is episode 156. Today we're going to talk about what kind of tabletop gamer are you? And that topic will tie into the whole idea of building habits, which will help you complete projects, and comes from a book called Atomic Habits by James Clear. So we're going to dive into what he talks about as the founding or the core principle of building really good habits, which is becoming the person you want to be. Of course, it's March 10th. It's 7:33 a.m., but we just sprang forward on the clocks. So for me, that means it's spring fever mode. We're going to have a different feel to the day, right? We're going to have the sun up later into the day. We've got lots of great sports action taking place across baseball, college basketball, for me, hockey, NFL offseason in high gear, and even the NBA working our way towards the playoffs. So lots of great sports action to witness on TV, and hopefully getting back to your tabletop as well. We'll get into the tabletop recap shortly and also then get into our main topic. But before we get to those, just wanted to address missing last week's episode. And sure enough, this is the kind of things that will take place sometimes, is schedules get in the way of extracurriculars. And if you're like me and working full time and have a family, there's things that will pop up that will make it difficult for you to either get to the gaming or get to any of your other extracurriculars that you want to do. And for me, that thing that got sacrificed last week was getting an episode out. So it'll happen from time to time, but we think we'll be making up for it over the next couple of weeks. And in fact, in addition to recording this episode, I will be recording next week's episode today as well, because it will be an interview, and we'll talk about that a little later as well. All right, before we get any further, let's take a look back at the week that was on my tabletop. All right, taking a look back at the last couple weeks from my tabletop, and there was a lot of baseball action taking place. We'll start with History Maker Baseball, where I was able to complete the September push for the 1969 Mets. Got on a run and just really decided to kind of close that project out, and which is somewhat unusual for me, although it's been happening more this year, is I get really siloed focus on a single game. And that's what happened with this History Maker Baseball project, where I basically ran off 13 straight gaming sessions just focused on closing out that project. And it's not unusual for me to really stay with a project, especially when it gets close to the finish line. I just want to see it get across the finish line, you know, when there's only like a handful of games left to play. And I think that's what happened with the Mets is, one, I hadn't played it a lot during February. So towards the end of February, I wanted to try to catch up and played a couple of series. And then once I did that, I realized I only had like two series and five total games left to go. So as March kicked off, I just wanted to make sure I closed that one out as well. In the end, the Mets end up winning the NL East, not as dominantly as they had in real life. We gave back a few games, in fact, a total of five games against the record. So I finished at 95-67, whereas they had in real life gone 162. My main enemy or main, you know, problem during that stretch in September was the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Pirates dominated the Mets, and that's really what ended up making a difference in their record. As I look back at the, you know, real life stats, you know, that 69 Mets team, as most of you have, because I think it's one of the popular teams to do replays with, they were a pretty lucky team. And if you look at their Pythagorean record, on like Baseball Reference, they really were only should have won based on metrics 92 games. So for us to fall back to 95, not that unusual. Now, the fact that I did it over just like 30 something games, like one fifth of the season, maybe, that part came out a little surprising that he gave back so many, but it did show that like the Pirates were a tough team for us to beat. I went into the final weekend, two game set with Chicago, needing to win at least one of those games, and that's what I did. I lost the first game and set us up for a final game of the season where the Mets had to win to outright clinch the division. If the Cubs had won, it would have meant going to an extra game to decide who was the division champ. So ended up pulling that one out. I finished up, I think we had talked about payoff pitch. I had finished up that showcase at the end of February. And then just recently also got pocket pennant run on the table, where this was my historical replay for the month of March. It was to replay the 1944 World Series Game 1. This was the only World Series that featured St. Louis versus St. Louis. So played that out on pocket pennant run. And ended up having the St. Louis Cardinals win the game 1-0. It was a pitching dominant game. I was using the Green Fox spreadsheet. If you haven't had a chance to check that out, I would highly recommend checking that out. It's a really great utility for doing some baseball replays. And I will say, like, my concentration was on making sure I was doing this, using the spreadsheet right. Had been a while since I played pocket pennant run. And I don't think I was as fully engaged in the game, because at the end, I got to the ninth inning. I had pulled the St. Louis Browns starter because he had come to the plate, and we went to the bullpen for them over the last inning or two. And then in the bottom of the eighth, Cardinals up 1-0, their pitcher's due to lead off. I knew he was pitching a shutout at that point, but a 1-0 shutout. And I said, let's get him out of here, right? He had some base runners throughout the game. And so I pulled him. Cardinals didn't end up scoring anything in the bottom of the eighth. Brought in their closer for the ninth, and or their top reliever. I don't know if he was actually their closer, but top reliever came in based on ratings. And he closed out the ninth inning. And then as I calculated all the results, realized those two pitchers, Mort Cooper and Freddie, what was Freddie's name? Freddie Schmidt had thrown a combined no-hitter. So I had no idea going into the ninth inning that the Cardinals had a no-hitter going. And if I had known Mort Cooper had a no-hitter, I probably would have thought twice about whether I would have kept him in. But even in retrospect, as I thought about it, I was like, you know, it was a 1-0 lead. I had a really good reliever rating-wise waiting in the bullpen. It's a World Series game. You got to have it. And Mort Cooper for the ninth inning would have dropped down to a C-rated pitcher. Or at least a B. I think it was dropped to a C at that point. And that was a little concerning too, right? I think I had already let him drop one rating because I let him pitch the eighth. So that was a little dicey. And I think even in retrospect, I probably would have still pulled him, knowing that he was leading off that bottom of the eighth and they only were up by one run. So combined no hitter though. And, you know, so that was pretty cool. Fast inning baseball. Again, a lot of baseball focus this week. So I got through games 61 through 65 of this Rumble tournament I'm doing for the 1954 season. And that saw finally Chicago White Sox eliminated, and I'm down to the final four teams. It is the three New York teams, the Yankees, the Giants, and the Dodgers, as well as the Cleveland Indians, who in 54 had won 111 games. So that's where we stand. We're going to probably have to go a few games. I think the Giants will be the next out. They already have four losses. Five losses eliminates a team. So Giants are probably next up. Everybody else has one or zero losses, I believe. So it's going to be a little bit of a battle between the other three to see who gets knocked out first. In addition to that, Let's Play Tennis on the table. Started my monthly tournament, my monthly fictional tournament, doing the Tag Open. Got through the first couple of rounds. So down to, what am I down to now? Probably down to like, I think 27. Yeah, down to 27 competitors now. So we're in the final 32. I'm going to go one more round of like, just kind of open play in a sense, where top seeds are facing lower seeds. And then we're going to reseed into a knockout bracket when we get down to, I guess it'll be like 14, you know? So that's going on there. Fury Football is going to be my March showcase. I got through night one of that. So two more nights to go with that. And then Dice United continued that 2022 NWSL tournament, completed two series where Kansas City beat Washington in two games and then Chicago beat Gotham in three games. So that's where we stand with that. And that's the recap. So lots of action. My monthly tournaments this month, you know, like I mentioned, we're trying to wrap up that that Rumble tournament for 1954. I already wrapped up the 69 Mets. I need to wrap up the Wayne Gretzky project. We'll see when we reach 50 goals there. The Tag Open Championship for my fictional monthly tournament. Fury Football is my showcase. And then we completed our historical replay, which was that World Series Game 1 where we ended up getting a no-hitter. So off to a pretty good start this month. And like I said, I had to sacrifice something this past week, and it ended up being getting a recording done last week. Probably going to see a couple of episodes this week. So obviously today you're listening to this one. I might get one more midweek, and then there'll be another one next weekend. So we might catch up a little bit in terms of that. For now, let's switch over and start talking about our main topic for today. All right, for today's main topic, we're going to talk about what kind of gamer are you? And this topic really comes from a book that I've been diving into again recently. I think I've mentioned it before, but just to recap, I've read Atomic Habits by James Clear a couple of years ago, and it really gives some really interesting insight into what it takes to build really good habits. And as I've been re-going through, like rereading the book in a sense, and parts of the book, also taking a masterclass on the same topic, I'm remembering that this became part of what I incorporated into my project building for the gaming hobby. And I thought this would be a really good topic just to cover again on the podcast in terms of how to take what is taught in Atomic Habits and bring it to the gaming hobby. One of the areas that is covered in the book is the idea that we can't just set goals and make them a reality. And I do think that for a lot of us, that's where we start with our project building in this hobby, is we start with a goal and we say, oh, I'm going to replay, you know, that 1986 season. But what he talks about in Atomic Habits is you really can't start with the goal. You can't even start with the process. If you're going to be truly successful, where you want to start is with yourself. And what is your identity? If you can start with changing your identity, then that sets you up to be able to deliver a process, and that process can then help you deliver the goals that you're looking to get to. Another way to think about this is that your identity has to become the person that you believe you are. And in turn, that then determines the actions that you will take. And those actions will change how others see you. So let's use some examples here, and then we'll bring it back to our hobby. But you could say things, and these are some examples that he has provided in like his book and some of the other resources that he makes available. Let's say you want to be a person who wants to become a better writer. Well, first you start by identifying what that means. And then you come up with something like, I want to become the kind of person who can write 1,000 words every day. And maybe what you do is you set like a really small goal there of saying, I'm going to be the kind of person who writes one paragraph each day this week. Or maybe you want to become somebody who's better fit, you know, stronger. And you're going to say, I'm going to be the type of person who never misses a workout. And what's my small win going to be? I'm going to try to do push-ups 3 times a week. So as we bring this kind of back to the hobby and think about like what it means to really set up ourselves for success and to set up to meet some of the goals, we can't really start with the idea that we're going to just say, okay, here's the project that I'm going to complete. Well, does that project, are you already in a process that's going to allow you to meet that goal? Are you the kind of person who can maintain the process that is required to then meet that goal? That's really where we want to start. And we want to start to think about, like, who are we as a gamer? And in that turn, who's the gamer that we want to become? And I think that that's the piece then that helps drive you into different habits. So how did I make this kind of come about? Well, if we go back to, like, me having the gaming log, for instance. The idea behind the gaming log was I kind of told myself, I'm going to be the kind of gamer that is regularly completing sessions. I want to be in there pretty much every day, knocking out 1 or 2 gaming sessions. And if I'm going to do that, let's track and let's see how we're doing with that particular piece. The gaming sessions wasn't about, or the gaming log, I should say, wasn't really about completing any particular project. There were projects that I was starting to go after, but that became one of the identities was, let me think about completing gaming sessions on a regular basis. And so by tracking it, it almost became like a way to check immediately and say, hey, I didn't do any gaming sessions yesterday. Or, hey, it's been a couple of days since I've done a gaming session. What's going on there? Right? So that became one of those identities that I decided was I was going to be the kind of person who went in and completed gaming sessions almost every day. Another foundational principle for me and an identity that I wanted to have is I wanted to be the kind of person who didn't leave a project incomplete. Once I decided to start, I wanted to be the kind of person who would see a project through to the end. And that became part of the drive immediately was for me to look out and check out some projects that I had started and never finished. And I've often talked about that one decathlon project that I had started back in like 2012 that just came across the finish line in like 2022 or whatever it was. It took 10 years to get it across the finish line, but I did eventually get it across the finish line. And that was one of the ones that I had targeted and said, that's the one that you're going to know that you've actually figured out how to do this, because it just never was something that was going to come across the finish line for some reason. And there were so many started and stopped projects along the way too, that I probably could have gone back and found. Some of those just became games that I didn't really play anymore, whatever it might have been. But, you know, that became the next thing, was if you're going to start a project, you're going to try to finish that project. Now, of course, I also have to give myself some flexibility there, right? And there were some that I decided I'm just going to stop. But for the most part, that has become an identity for me. So you start with those identities. And then for me, like with the gaming log, it became, okay, what's the small win? Well, the small win for me was, let's start tracking all this. Let's start this gaming log, and then let's see how it's going. Let's see what games are getting to the table. And then eventually that led to other process pieces where I could start to say, all right, let's see, now that I'm tracking this, now that I have this gaming log, am I getting a good variety of games on the table? Now that becomes a new piece of the identity. Like, I want to be someone who's going to have a good variety of games on the table. How am I going to measure that? What's the goal going to be? I start to build from there, and I start to build the process out a little bit more. Like, how are you going to ensure that you have a good variety of games? Well, you're going to come up with some things into your monthly plan that says you're going to have a monthly deliverable. You're going to have some showcases. You know, eventually it became, I'm going to have a quarterly project I'm going to be working on. I'm going to have my always on baseball project from baseball, you know, History Maker Baseball. All of those things started getting built into the process as I started to think more and more about the identity of who I want to be as a gamer. And this is where we all have the freedom to be whatever we want to be as a gamer. And think about all the different people that we've talked about and talked about projects with. We've had people like, you know, Bob Hansen and Lenny LaFrance, who their identity as a gamer is they want to have a fictional league that they created and that they are staying true to and seeing through to completion. And that becomes part of their identity. They do other things as well. They're playing other games. But at the core of it all is these leagues that they've created and that they're cultivating and that they're continuing to see through. For Bob, it's across four or five different sports. For Lenny, it's really focused on like his baseball and then the football one that he's, you know, helping to run. We talked to people like Sean Colnan, whose identity has got to be about, I want to play full season projects. And he plays every single game of a particular season, whether it's baseball or football, and sees those through. You know, we heard in the interview, he does other things too. But that's kind of at the core for him as to like what kind of a gamer he is. We have other people who are really into creating games. And they still play games from time to time. But I don't think that their projects are more around, I want to think about how to recreate a particular sport into an actual game. And they're all about trying to create the games. So everybody's got a different take on it. And I think that that's where it gets back to, what's your identity? You know, for mine, it became, the identity starts with the idea that I want to be playing these games on a regular basis. And I'm really going to do whatever I can to do that. The projects become a part, an extension of that process. What am I going to be working on? I mean, I could leave it open and just say, yeah, I'm just going to randomly choose games. It would probably, for me, result in fewer games being played if I had fewer projects. The projects for me help me to avoid that kind of stall point where you look in your closet and say, what do I play today? You know, I have a little bit more direction. And for me, that works. I need the direction of saying, these are the five or six different things you're working on right now. So pick one of those and run with it. That then helps me meet that identity of you're going to keep playing games. You're going to work on projects. So because it becomes who I am as a gamer, it doesn't become that grind. Some people would probably look at it and say, man, I don't want to ever be in that position where it just feels like it's almost like work, right? We've all heard folks talk about it that way. And I think if their identity is different, it probably would be work for them. You know, if somebody else, there's gamers out there who would look at like what I'm doing and trying to get to 30 projects this year and be like, nope, that's going to feel like work for me. Because it's not part of who what their identity is. For them, it's going to be something different, right? And could I see myself as the kind of person who said, oh, this week I'm just going to play out that one World Series and I'll play that and then I'll move on to the next thing. I could see that, but I don't think it would maintain my interest as long if I was that kind of a gamer. And the same thing if I was fully engrossed in a season-long project playing every single game of like a baseball season or a football season. For me, that would probably not be something that would be a winner in terms of my identity, right? It would make the process into something different than I wanted it to be. So for my identity, that's probably not what it would look like in the long run. So how do you take these identities and then turn them into those really well-defined habits? Well, again, go into that and say to yourself, and again, this is coming right from kind of like resources from James Clear. Start with the performance or the appearance that you want to achieve. What do you want others to think about you in terms of how you game? And then in step two, kind of take that and write down that sentence that says, this is the type of person who would achieve that goal. And then step three, list like, you know, 3 to 5 really small steps that you can take to help become the person that you just described in step two. And then just commit to doing one of those for a week. And then once you've committed to and you've completed one of those for a full week, go to the next one. And then the next one until you start to really build out your process. That's really what it's going to take. And as I look back to like what I was doing and, you know, and in terms of doing this, I'm going to go back to like the early days of like this gaming log. Because for me, I don't really remember what the process looked like. But if I go back to that first month of September of 2020, and I think about the types of games that I was playing, I had a big project I was working on. I was doing this 2019 Mets replay. So I was trying to play that. That was the primary project I was working on. And I wanted to mix in some other games as I was going along too. So after 4 sessions of playing some History Maker Baseball, I went to Fury Hardball and I was playing a little bit of that. And I listed that as like an exhibition project. So I wasn't really doing a project yet. I was just testing out the game. Second Season Express, I was doing this college football set that had come out at the Play.con in 2020. And I was working through that. So I played a game of that, went back to baseball. Red, White, and Blue Racing, I was playing this season of this, you know, the card set, the 2000 Stars that comes with Red, White, and Blue Racing. Started to get that, went back to baseball. Got Aviatrix 37 on the table, went back to baseball. Taking part in the Play Tour. We had done this, you know, Paul Salzgaber had put that on after the Play.con that year, or not con, I should say. Went back to baseball, went back to Red, White, and Blue, back to Second Season. So you can hear, like, I only was working on, like, 4 or 5 projects at this point in time. And it started to build those habits, right? I looked at the history maker baseball, and this part I can kind of remember, and said, all right, you want to get these 162 games in, let's really work on almost playing like a couple games, almost like a couple series every week. I wanted to get through like at least two series every week. So I was really heavily engaged in history maker baseball at that point. But then I was starting to look at these other projects and being like, okay, let's think about when these are going to get finished too. Chip away at them. Chip away at the red, white, and blue. Chip away at the second season. Start to play those out. You know, oh, there's this play tour going on. Take part in that. You want to get some cooperative things in as well. Like, that's going to be fun. Let's play that. That gets me another game on the table. And then mixing in some other games that I was buying and saying, okay, how am I going to get these on the table now? Like, let me think about how to get some other games onto the table. And eventually that started to build into some different things, right? I started to think about, like, what about monthly delivery? What if every month I got a project across the finish line? What would it take to get there? What's the process going to look like? What do I have to do to change my identity? Who do I have to be as a gamer to be able to deliver a project every month? So I start with that identity and start to think about the smaller incremental steps. I'm going to maintain a gaming log. I'm going to keep History Maker Baseball on the table. I'm going to try to get through a couple of sessions every week. I'm going to chip away at these other projects, get a couple of sessions in during the next couple weeks, see if I can move that towards the finish line. These things became those incremental steps that I was going through. And I'm constantly working on those too. I'm constantly working on, like, what's that next part of the habit? Because the big thing that you get from Atomic Habits is what makes habits super strong is when you've got one habit connected to another established habit, a new habit connected to an established habit. The more you can continue to do those types of things, the bigger your routines can be. And that's really what becomes the driving force there. So start with your identity. Start with asking yourself, who do I want others to see me as? And what does that require me to be at my core identity? And what are the small steps that I can start to take there now? And I think that if you do that, one, you know, hopefully some of the other lessons that we're going over in this podcast and that you get from other gamers, some of that rings true for you. And it won't be 100%. It can't be everything, right? Because there's so many different types of gamers out there. We're all different in our approaches. And what works for me probably isn't going to work for you 100%. You know, maybe it only works 20%, whatever it might be. But I think in the long run, like, we all want to be a certain kind of gamer. So we have to be true to ourselves first. Think about who you want to be as a gamer and let that then be what helps to dictate what you're going to be. And don't try to be somebody else's identity. Be what's going to work for you. And if you do that, I think that you're going to find increased joy in this hobby of ours, because you're going to be the person that you want to be. So again, Atomic Habits by James Clear has got some really great information out there. There's a lot of resources you can get that are free to get on the internet. Just do a Google search or whatever search engine you use. Look for some of that information that he's got out there. It can really be helpful in trying to build, like, the way you approach your hobby or your work or your health and fitness, whatever it might be, you know, because, you know, habits are core to everything we do, right? So I think it's a really good way to kind of approach and think about how you want to tackle things. And let's face it, it's, you know, I talked a lot about the gaming. It's also what really helped me develop this podcast over time too, was to start thinking about how to approach that too. I use those same approaches to help kind of build the podcast from nothing. And a lot of it comes from the lessons that I learned there. And when I talk about, you know, being an agile, you know, practitioner, that too becomes, this is who I want to be at my identity. So you have to choose those, that identity first and start to work towards it from there. All right, let's come back and wrap up this week's episode. And that's a wrap on this week's episode, where we took a look at what it means to identify yourself in terms of your gamer. What kind of gamer are you? Talked about atomic habits. We talked about those first three steps that you want to take. Decide on the kind of person, the identity you want. Write that sentence that talks about what kind of person you need to be. And then come up with those 3 to 5 small wins and start to work on one of those each week. And then as you build that, the beginning of that habit, move on to the next one. It's a process that really works well in terms of building your habits. So hopefully you'll kind of embrace that and think about how you can utilize that to help you in your hobby. All right, what's coming up? I'm going for 2 more episodes this week. We'll see how that works out, but I'm hoping to get a midweek episode out, and our next episode will be a look at the top 10 YouTubers related to this hobby. We're going to give a little shout out to some of the great YouTube content that is out there. Some of it current, some of it not so much, but I've got a list of like 10 go-tos for myself that I want to give some shout-outs to. And then for next weekend, and this will be the next weekend's episode, I'm going to be doing an interview with Grant Fines, and we're going to talk about the latest release from 49 Sports Games, which is yet to come out. We're going to get it right around the time that it's coming out. So we'll be talking a little bit about what's going on over at 49 Sports Games, or Sport Games, 49 Sport Games. So we'll be talking with Grant Fines all about that, and also catching up on seeing how things are going and what's new with his 2 football games that are also out. So I'll be recording that this afternoon, and we will be putting that out for you next week. And we are only a couple of weeks away from Tabletop Sportcast Live. So if you are a Patreon supporter, I'll be putting some information out probably this week as well, so that you can get all the information that you need to take part in that event in just 2 weekends. So hang in there this week as we change the clocks. I know this becomes like a tough week to get through. You know, it's a pretty much a mid-month grind, and it's mid-March, and you know, losing that hour of sleep will have its ripple effects throughout the week. But hang in there, and hopefully you'll get through this week just fine. All right, appreciate all the support. Until next week, thanks for listening.